be hitting light-handed against Al Jackson as they get the game going. Jackson tonight for a mound opponent, drawing the toughest pitcher in Major League Baseball today in Sandy Koufax. Little Maury Wills sitting at 315 to be in the top 10 in the National League in batting. Now Jackson is into his windup. Here's the first pitch. Ground ball bounced to short. Big house speared by Burright. Take the heart, just one down. Jackson, a breaking ball pitcher, and when he is in that good groove, the infield gets a real workout. As Casey says, he throws a lot of grounders. Now here's Jim Gilliam playing second. Gilliam, like Wills, a switch batter. He'll be hitting right-handed against Al Jackson. Gilliam hitting at 277 with four home runs and 28 runs batted in. Now the windup pitched by Jackson. He takes all away. The pitch is over. Strike one call. Gilliam wanted to get a look at Al Jackson. He just turned around and took all the way on the pitch. Dodgers leading the National League by four games over second place San Francisco. Now the pitch thrown by Jackson bounced foul off home plate back toward the Dodger dugout and the count strike two. Real good crowd tonight in the Polo Grounds. Many still are coming in as we get the game going here in inning number one. Dodgers winning the first two games of the series, 1-0 and 4-3. Now Alvin winding the two-strike delivery. Inside, he brushes him back a little bit, and the count, one ball and two strikes. The Dodgers' second visit of the year to New York will wind up with a day game tomorrow, and tomorrow is family day. Wonderful chance tomorrow for Dad to bring the whole family out to the fun and excitement of a Dodger-Mets game and do so at a saving. Now the 1-2 delivery. A fly ball in the air to left field. Frank Thomas coming in a few strides. Makes the catch. Two men down. Now Tommy Davis, the leading batter of the National League, stepping in. Tommy regained his batting lead last night. He's hitting at 326 on the year. The game last night, Tommy had 2-for-3, and he drew a walk. The hike is averaged at 3.326. Here's the windup pitched by Jackson. A swing and a miss, strike one. Tommy Davis leads all the Dodger hitters against southpaw pitching this year. Against the left-handers, Tommy hitting at 405. Larry Burright has tried toward the hole on the left side of the infield. An off-speed delivery outside. One ball, one strike. Now Jackson cranks up, delivers one and one. A smash through the box. Over second, a base hit to center field. Tommy Davis continuing his torrid hitting against left-hand pitching is on with a single to center field. And the hitter now is Frank Auer. His very presence in the batter's box in this ballpark scares you half to death. Auer hitting only 247. He's off considerably from his average of last year. Has hit 13 home runs and driven 31 runs in. 6'7", right-hand batter. A little bit low, one ball and no strike. Greg Malevi on the coaching lines at first and Pete Reaser on the coaching lines at third. Bill Skowron is beyond that hitter. Now throw to first by Jackson, not in time. Beautiful night for the game. Skies mostly clear, very comfortable in short sleeves. Change up that flutters in and over. A tall strike. One ball and one strike. One and one the count on Frank Howard. Tommy Davis on first. Two men down. 1-1 delivery. Curve, low end fat. He's throwing Howard nothing but slow breaking stuff so far. And the count goes for two balls and a strike. For the game tomorrow, the gates will open at 11:30. And the game featuring the youngsters, the sons of the members of the New York Mets, will be getting underway at 1:30. They'll be backed up by their illustrious daddies. Now, throw to first, not in time. Two and one the count. Howard swishing the bat around. Jackson begs to Harkness, not in time for Tommy Davis. Veteran Al Barlick is umpiring at first tonight. He's the crew chief of the team. Giant Lee Wire working behind the plate. 2-1 delivery. He held up. It goes low. Ball three. 3-1. Howard started a swing and then checked up. Frank Howard, the hitter, one of the few men in the National League who is taller than the plate umpire, Lee Wire. Wire is 6'6". Now Jackson with a 3-1 count. Ron Hunt shaded towards second against the big right-hand pull hitter. Pitching 3-1. Change up hit hard. A base hit to left center field. Racing over for it, Thomas and Pearsall. It gets through to Thomas, backed up by Pearsall. Rounding third, heading in, Tommy Davis. He'll score. Went through the legs on Frank Thomas in left center field. Pearsall in behind him, backing up on the play. It will be scored as a double for Howard. An error charge to Thomas and no RBI on the play. Howard hit a tremendous line drive, a vicious drive just beyond the reach of Larry Burright, who tried to jump for it. Now the Moose, Bill Skowron is the hitter. Bill hitting at 216. Here's the pitch on the way. Low and outside, it's ball one. Dodgers have a run in. They lead 1-0. Howard on second, the batter Bill Skowron. Inside and low, it's ball two. Jackson behind on the Moose down, 2-0. Gowron has played in only 51 games. He's been up 148 times this year. Dodger leader in total at-bats is Willie Davis with 267. Swing and a miss on a slow breaking pitch, 2-1. Fairley has played more games than any other Dodger player. He's been in 85 ball games. Now the count, 2-1 on Scallon. Down comes the pitch by Jackson. A slow curve, it's over. A strike call. 2-2. Jackson came over the top of the slow curve and it broke over the inside corner. Run in as the result of an error. Whether the run is earned or unearned depends on Skowron. Here's the pitch on the way. Bounced foul off to the right, no play. Not necessarily on Skowron, but what takes place between now and the time the third out is made. Skowron, veteran right-hand batter, cocks the bat off the right shoulder. The 2-2 delivery, inside and low, and the string is out, 3-2. Jackson retired, Maury Wills and Jim Gilliam, the first two men up. Tommy Davis singled up the middle, Howard lined one into left center field. Thomas cut over into left center, tried to come up with it, went through his legs. Pearsall backed up on the play, but Tommy Davis came in to score from first base. Pitching 3-2. Foul ball. He didn't mean to hit that. That was ball four. He was trying to get out of the way of it. Ron Fairley, the only left-hand hitter among the regulars in the Dodger lineup tonight, is the on-deck batter. Top of the order, Maury Wills and Jim Gilliam are both switch hitters. Ball four, and that'll bring up Fairley. Now Ron Fairley, the batter, hitting at 285, and he leads the Dodgers in runs batted in. Fairley has driven 46 runs home. Mets with their defense now playing Fairley as a full batter to right field. Jackson's first delivery is off the outside corner. One ball and no strike. Now warm-up action for New York. Larry Bonas starting to warm up. Ron Fairley, in his brief major league career, has played only 12 games in the Polo Grounds and hit 6 home runs in the 12 games. Here's the pitch on the way. Breaking ball over, a strike, a peg to second. Not in time. Larry Burright had to catch that one almost out of the back pocket of Big Frank Howard. One ball and one strike now on Ron Fairley. Day game tomorrow with the Dodgers, a doubleheader against Houston on Sunday in the Polo Grounds. Makeup game with Houston on Monday night and a day game with Houston on Tuesday. The 1-1 pitch. Line drive to left center. That's going to be up the alley for an extra base hit. Howard around third is coming in to score. Kershaw getting the ball back toward the infield. Gowan is on the way to the plate. He'll score, and the Dodgers lead 3-0. Outstanding hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Left-hander against left-hander. Lined a hard double to left center field, driving 2 runs in. He now has 48 runs batted in, and the hitter is Ken McMullen. Dodgers lead 3-0. Jackson retired the first 2 minutes. Since then, the Dodgers have 3 runs in. A line drive foul going down the left field line. No play. Doug Camilli is the on-deck batter, and then Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax, you hate to give a 1-run lead, much less a 3-run lead. Now Jackson off the stretch delivers. It's over at the knees, a call strike, a 2-strike count on Ken McMullen. McMullen hitting a 247 on the year. He won a job at third during spring training when he failed to hit in the early part of the year. They sent him to Spokane. Now, since he's recalled, he has hit well. Two-strike pitch. Ground ball hammered foul down the third baseline. No play. Dodgers have 3 runs in on a single, 2 doubles, and a walk. Now Jackson looking in to pick up his sign from battery mate Norm Sherry. He's out in front on the count, the 2-strike pitch. Inside at the letters, 1 ball and 2 strikes. Ron Fairley is on second. He doubled, driving 2 runs home. His 2 base hits scoring, Frank Howard and Bill Skowron. Now the 1-2 pitch. Just missed the outside corner in the count 2-2. When center field bleachers about two-thirds full for tonight's game. Box and reserve seats practically all sold out. Two and two on Ken McMullen, tall, rangy, right-handed batting third baseman. Here's the pitch by Jackson, a high fly ball to center field. Jimmy Pearsall is under this one over in left center, makes the catch, and the side is up. Three runs, three hits, one error, and one left on. The score in the middle of the first inning, the Dodgers three and the Mets coming to bat. You know, there are many ways to brew beer. Rheingold takes the long, slow, costly way, the extra dry way. That explains why there's such a wonderful difference in the taste of Rheingold. Yes, sir, dry tells you why. Tells you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. You know, costly ingredients are one thing, and Rheingold has them, but it takes more. It takes the skill of 126 years of brewing experience. The extra dry skill that is Rheingold's alone. And you can measure the difference that dry makes in taste. Rheingold has the happiest taste in beer today. No other beer can quite match it. So it's no wonder that millions say, my beer is Rheingold the dry beer. But wouldn't you rather discover that difference for yourself? Enjoy the extra refreshment that comes with Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. Open up or order up fine cold Rheingold right now. Now the New York Mets will be up against Sandy Koufax. Sandy has been practically untouchable all year long. Koufax has won 14 games, lost only three. Eight of his 14 victories have been shutouts. It's thrown to Jim Hickman is outside and low, one ball and no strike. In his last two starts, he has hurled three hit shutouts. Leads the major leagues in strikeouts at 150. In the dirt on a curve, ball 2-2-0. And his earned run average is 1.73. He has 12 complete games to his credit. He has already set a Dodger club record in shutouts and hung up more shutouts than anybody since Mort Cooper. In the National League, outside the highest, ball 3-3-0. Koufax at 156 innings has walked only 34 men. Tremendous control. Right now, though, he's behind on Jim Hickman, 3-0. Pass ball over, a strike on the outside corner. Now Sandy into his windup, 3-1 delivery. A high fly ball into left center. It's fairly deep. Back goes Tommy Davis, and he makes the catch. Koufax has a lifetime record against the Mets of 4 wins and no losses. He won one game 13-6. The other three have been shutouts. Now Jimmy Pearsall playing center field and batting second, stepping in against Koufax. Here's the windup. Down comes the pitch. A foul ball hit back into the screen. Strike one. Sandy Koufax has been building himself into a real gate attraction, reminiscent of the days of Bobby Feller. A swing and a miss, and the count strike two. One away, nobody on, last half of inning number one. Now the two-strike delivery, ground ball hit slowly and foul down toward Ken McMullen. The Rangers 3 and the Mets nothing. We're in the last half of the first. Now the two-strike pitch, a swing and a miss. He struck him out. He got him with a blazing fastball, shoulder high. Alvin Dark's Giants, and Whitey Ford of the Yankees, and Sandy Koufax, all three, lead the major leagues in victories with 14. Now Joe Christopher hitting, and the pitch is outside and low. It's ball one. And the Cincinnati Reds' Jim Maloney has won 14. Joe Christopher was enjoying a real good year at Buffalo and earned the promotion to the New York Mets. He lays off. It's outside and high, ball two. At Buffalo, Joe was hitting .288 with 19 home runs to share the International League lead and 59 RBIs, third high in the circuit. He lays off at its high, ball three. Once again, Koufax has gone behind of the hitter 3-0. He went behind Hickman 3-0 and then came back to retire him on a fly ball to left field. Koufax over the head. Down comes his pitch. Fastball over, a call strike, 3-1. Frank Thomas on deck, and then Ron Hunt. First two games of this series, 1-0 and 4-3, with the Mets threatening in the ninth inning of both games. Swing and a miss on a quick one. Three balls and two strikes to Christopher. Christopher was with the Mets all of last year, was unable to hit over the first half of the year, and then the last part of the season got hot. A foul ball, a walked it back toward the press box, it's out of play. 3-2, the count on Joe Christopher. In order to make room for Joe Christopher and Joe Hicks, now both with the New York Mets, Chico Fernandez went to Seattle and Cliff Cook to Buffalo. Ground ball bounced towards the hole, base hit. Joe Christopher swings around first. He's on with a ground single to left field. Now Frank Thomas coming up against Koufax. Joe Christopher getting away with an auspicious start. A ground single into left field. Now Bill Scowlett moving over to hold against Christopher. We're in the last of the first inning. Pitched by Koufax. A strike called on the outside corner. Here's the pitch on the way, a hammered foul down the third baseline. Two strike count on Thomas. Now Koufax looking in to Doug Camilli to pick up his sign. The outfield swung around toward left. Fouled back into the screen, and the count strike two. Sandy checking in with Doug Camilli. Joe Christopher leads off first base. Here's the pitcher on the way. Mouse foul, no play. It's thrown to Thomas, a let up by Koufax, taken high. One ball and two strikes. Christopher takes his lead. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Breaking ball by Koufax. Sends Frank Thomas to retire the side. So Koufax picking up two strikeouts in the first inning. No runs, one hit. No errors, and one left on. At the end of one inning, Dodgers three runs, three hits, and no errors. New York, no runs, one hit, and one error. Tomorrow, Bob Miller will pitch for the Dodgers against Tracy Stallard of the New York Mets. Tomorrow is Family Day here in the Polo Grounds. That means that tomorrow, Dad can buy a seat to the grandstand for $1.30, then buy tickets for Mom and the children for 50 cents each. The gates will be open at 11:30, and the game featuring the youngsters will get underway at 1:30, so we hope you're planning to be on hand. And if so, that you'll be arriving early, because it's going to be a real fun day here on the Polo Grounds. One team of youngsters will have Kevin Snyder at first, Henry Coleman at second, Scotty Kanger will be at third, and Phil Keneal at short. Jim Norman, Jimmy Pearsall Jr., and Richie Willie in the outfield. The other team will have Mike Kanger at first, Walter Coleman at second, Roger Craig Jr. at third, Dave Keneal at shortstop, Kurt Snyder, Pat Caputi, and Frank Thomas Jr. in the outfield. And there will be many other of the youngsters also all decked out in their little Mets uniforms ready to get in the game. Doug Camilli is up against Al Jackson. Breaking ball inside and low. It's one ball and no strike. Johnny Roseborough handles the real big part of the catching for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Doug Camilli has been up 61 times this year. Right-hand batter. Pitch thrown. A drive hit high and deep to left field. It is going, going, gone. A home run. Camilli sending the ball into the upper deck in left field for a home run, and the Dodgers lead 4-0. For Doug Camilli, his second home run of the year. Now Sandy Koufax stepping in against Al Jackson. Jackson winding, pitches a ground ball slowly hit down to third. Hickman comes up with it. Throws hard to Harkness in time, and Sandy is out. One away and nobody on. Now the top of the batting order for Mari Wills. And while we're waiting for Mari, we'll pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the great Northeast, WGY Schenectady, a General Electric station. The time, 29 minutes past 8.
Bob Murphy with Ralph Kiner and Lindsey Nelson. Dodgers hitting in the second. They own a 4-0 lead. Mari Wills was thrown out by Larry Burright his first trip. Does an offer, a bluff for a moment at a bunt, and it's low, one ball and no strike. Jim Hickman in close at third against Wills. He's always a threat to bunt his way on. Swung and missed, one ball, one strike. Jackson sat again on his target. Down comes the pitch. Low and outside. Two balls and a strike on Mari Wills. Mari hitting at 314. Little Mari hasn't been on the run nearly as much this year as last. The main reason has been the fact that his legs have been hurt a great deal of the time. Now the 2-1 delivery. Low and inside. It's ball three. 3-1. Larry Benath has started to warm up again for the New York Mets. Jackson struggling, trying to find his touch. Now winds and pitches. A fly ball to short left field. Could be hard to reach. Out goes Burright. Makes the catch on the run. Larry Burright had to hustle. Caught the ball reaching up for it on the run out in short left field. Two outs, nobody on. The batter, Junior Gilliam. Gilliam hitting at 276 was retired on a fly ball to left field at the opening inning. Pitch thrown by Jackson inside. It's one ball and no strike. First two games of the series, the Mets received outstanding pitching from Carl Willie and Roger Craig. Real good fastball at the knees. One ball, one strike down on Gilliam. Big game tomorrow, and the weatherman says the weather's going to be just right for baseball. Now the 1-1 delivery. Change up, hit high in the air to left center field. Pearsall moving over in the alley in left center. Makes the catch, and the side is out. One run, one hit, a home run by Doug Camilli. No errors, none left on. At the end of an inning and a half, the score, the Dodgers 4 and the Mets nothing. Now come on along as we tune in Melodious Tone.
Baby and me, we belong to the Rheingold beer, Aspiration Society. Now I do not exaggerate, we think that Rheingold's simply great. I say the flavor clean clear through, he says it's brisk and sparkling too. I say it's beer should taste, to which he then replies in haste, it's quite a pie, and dry will tell you why. My baby and me, we belong to the Rheingold beer, Aspiration Society. Not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
Now the home second. Ron Hunt stepping in against Koufax. Sandy out of his windup, pitches, foul ball, back upstairs and out of play. 2 years ago, Sandy was an 18-game winner. Last year, he had a tremendous start. His figures, the first half of the year, just about the same as they are for the first half of this year. Then he had the misfortune to go to the sidelines the last half of the season. A pop-up outside first base. Bill Scowron scooting over in foul ground near the track, takes it for the out, and Hunt is retired. Now Norm Sherry coming on to hit. Norm figured very prominently in the development of Sandy Koufax. Sandy's earlier days with the Dodgers as a bonus ball player, he had a great deal of trouble with wildness, as most talented young left-handers do. And it was Norm Sherry, then a battery mate of his, who helped him a great deal in getting his confidence and in gaining confidence in his changeup, which is now a great one. Foul ball, back to the screen, strike one. Strike count on Norm Sherry. Dodgers 4 and the Mets nothing. We're in the last half of the second. A smash on the ground is short. Taken on one hop by Maury Wills. Over to Scowron. Two men down. Now Larry Burwright comes on to hit. You know, right now would be a great time to order up or pour a glass of that famous dry beer. And that's got to be Rheingold. It's beer as beer should taste. Koufax over the head, pitches to Burwright, swing and a miss on a breaking ball, strike one. Sandy, with that least body, good size, good height, combines that blazing fastball, great curve and changeup. Off-speed delivery outside, one ball and one strike. pitch to Burright. Up high on a rising fastball, 2-1. Jim Harkness waiting on deck, then Al Jackson. Game tomorrow, the wrap-up game of the series, Tracy Stallard will be starting his first game ever against the Dodgers. Stallard has worked very well as a starting pitcher. Swing and a miss. He threw smoke that time, and the count even 2-2. Just a blurred pitch. Two-two delivery. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Number three in two innings for Sandy Koufax. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. Now at the end of two, the score, the Dodgers 4 and the Mets nothing. Well, tickets for the Houston series, the doubleheader Sunday, the makeup game Monday night, and the afternoon game Tuesday, as well as the Giants series and all future home games of the New York Mets, are on sale at the advanced sale window here at the Polo Grounds, 155th and 8th Avenue. For those of you commuting into Manhattan, they're conveniently located east side and west side at Grand Central Station near the foot of the 42nd and Vanderbilt ramp. And also, they're available at the Long Island waiting room of the Penn Station. Remember, too, that ticket reservations for all future home games may be made at all Howard closed stores in the metropolitan area. If you're at it convenience, if it's more convenient for you to get your tickets by mail, simply address your correspondence to Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. Now the third inning in the Polo Grounds. The Dodgers coming up against Al Jackson. And all set to detail every exciting play for you, Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Bob, and hi there, everybody. It's going to be Tommy Davis, Frank Howard, and Moose Cowan against the little left-hander Al Jackson. Tommy Davis, the right-hand batter, singled to center field his first time up, and he takes the first pitch, he calls strike. Jackson with a curveball. Davis with a base hit, raising his league-leading average to .328. Jackson, the left-hander now, back into the motion and back to the plate with a slow changeup. Ball bouncing in the dirt before reaching the plate. One ball, one strike. Jackson reached for three runs on three hits in the first inning. The big hit, a two-run double by Ron Fairley. And also a home run by Doug Camilli in the second. Pitch back to Tommy Davis. It hits him. And now it's called a foul ball, but Davis is showing his arm, and he gets first base. Lee Wire taking a look after calling the ball a foul ball, seeing the bruise on the arm, and sending Tommy Davis on down to first base. Now with no one out, Big Frank Howard steps in. Howard doubled his first time up. Once again, Larry Bernas is up and throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. He's been up all three of the first innings of this ballgame. Here's the first pitch to Howard, a fastball on the outside corner, strike one. Frank Howard batting 250, 13 home runs, 31 runs batted in. Jackson in the stretch position. The score, 4-0 Dodgers lead. And a slow curveball gets Howard swinging for strike two. Howard out in front. Boy, when Frank swings, he puts a lot of air in the ballpark. He really lets that bat go. He's still wearing the glasses that he started wearing earlier this year. Two strike count on Frank Howard. And a throw to first base chases Tommy Davis back. Jackson sets again. And he comes back to Howard with a curveball. Again, the swing and a miss for strike three. And Al Jackson picks up his first strikeout. One man down, the batter Moose Coward. Moose walked his first time up and scored a run. He's batting .216. Cowan, a right-hand batter. And Jackson again to first base, this time with a little more mustard, but again, Tommy Davis gets back. One man out. Here's Jackson to the plate, and there's a high fly ball to left field, over by the left field line. Thomas coming over has running room. He waits, and he loses the ball. Ball's bouncing away, and Tommy Davis moves on over to third base. Thomas lost the ball in the twilight here. The ball was high in the air, and of course, this time of night, you can lose the ball. It came down. He never got the glove on it at all. It bounced away, and Tommy Davis, who was way down the line, almost to second base, moved over to third. A two-base hit for Moose Cowan as he moved on down to second. Now the batter, Ron Fairley, who doubled his first time up. Ron drove in two runs. Dodgers lead 4-0. The infield now pulled in on the shortstop side. The first pitch to Fairley. Left-hand batter's on the outside corner for strike one. Well, unless you play this time of night, it's kind of hard to really explain how you can lose the ball out there. But with twilight, you can lose that ball once it gets up there high in the air. It's been done many times before. Here's the one strike delivery, and it's fouled straight back, strike two. Jim Hickman at third base, in even with the bag. The shortstop, Larry Burright, also pulled in. On the first base side, both Harkness and Ron Fairley are playing back. Ron Hunter playing back. Now the pitch back to Fairley. A slow curve. He checks in time. One ball, two strikes. Fairley almost went for the curveball, but held up. And now Norm Cherry asking Lee Wire about it. One and two count on Ron Fairley. Jackson into the windup. And his pitch to Fairley. Outside with a slider. Two balls, two strikes. Today is Ron Fairley's birthday. He's 25 years of age. This has been a big year for Ron. He got married earlier this spring. Two balls, two strikes. And now Jackson back with a curve that bounces in the dirt. Ball three. Ball picked up by Norm Cherry. The runner's holding. Tommy Davis at third base. Moose Cowan at second. Dodgers have four runs on five hits. The Mets have no runs and one hit. Mets have one out top of the third. Now Jackson at 3-2. And he misses with a curveball for ball four. That loads him up. And here comes manager Casey Stengel. Warming up in the bullpen for the Mets, Larry Bernard. Bases are loaded and Casey Stengel going out to the mound. Jackson was set for three runs and three hits in the first inning. He gave up a home run to Doug Camilli in the second inning. Now he has the bases loaded. And there goes the sign out for Larry Bernard. That's all for Al Jackson. Al now officially working two and one-third innings. He has been charged so far with four runs while giving up five hits, striking out one batter and walking three. Larry Bernard coming in the ballgame, and while he comes in, here's Bob to bring you up to date on the score.
All right, Ralph, the game at Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Phillies scored four runs off Jack Sanford in the first inning tonight. At the end of two innings, Phillies four and the Giants nothing. Jack Sanford against Art Mahaffey. Sanford, who had a great year for the Giants last season, is 9-8 this year. And Art Mahaffey, after the worst kind of start imaginable, is now pitching real well. Mahaffey is now 5-9. Houston nothing, Pittsburgh nothing at the end of two innings. Bob Bruce against Don Swall. The Colt 45s will be flying into New York for a Sunday doubleheader, a makeup game on Monday night, and a day game Tuesday afternoon. The makeup game on Monday night necessitated when the May 1st game was rained out. Those of you holding tickets for the original May 1st game with Houston, those tickets must be exchanged for the game on Monday night or for a subsequent date. Also in the National League tonight, Chicago will be in Cincinnati, and Milwaukee plays at St. Louis. In the American League on the West Coast tonight, the Yankees will take on the Los Angeles Angels. The Boston Red Sox and the Minnesota Twins play in the Twin Cities. Baltimore and Washington are tied 1-1 with Washington hitting in the last half of the second. Washington tied the game on Don Locke's home run. Warm-up pitches being counted off now by plate umpire Lee Wire, and we're about set to go with Larry Benares on the mound and Ralph Kiner behind the mic.
One man out here in the top of the third, Larry Benares will be working with the bases loaded. He will be pitching in his 29th game, the most of any Met pitcher so far this year. He has worked 51 innings, giving up 52 hits and 23 earned runs for a 4.06 earned run average. Benares has a record of 2 wins and 3 losses. Now he's all set to go. He'll be working to Ken McMullen. McMullen flied out to center field against Al Jackson his first time up. McMullen, the right-hand batter. The infield set back, looking for a double play. And now the first pitch by Larry Benares. Fastball, slight foul down the right field line. So Larry gets his first strike, working in a real tough, difficult situation. McMullen batting 244. Tommy Davis at third base, Moose Cowan at second base, and Ron Fairley at first base for the Dodgers. The batter for the Dodgers, Ken McMullen. Bernard now with a windup and the one-strike delivery. A curveball hit foul out of play. And the count is 0-2. Larry Benares, only 1 year out of college, working right here in the Polo Grounds before a large crowd. And working against the league-leading Los Angeles Dodgers. They lead the National League by 4 games. Here's the two-strike delivery. Curveball, got him looking. Strike 3. So Larry has picked up his first out, working to his first man. The Mets now have 2 men out, and the batter coming up, Doug Camilli. Camilli homered to left field his first time up, his second home run of the year. He's a right-hand batter. And he's batting 177. Dodgers 4, Mets nothing.
2 men out, top of the third.
Now Benares taking the sign from Norm Sherry. Here's the windup and the pitch. Curveball too low for ball one. Dodgers have the bases occupied. Tommy Davis was hit by a pitch ball. Moose Cowan at second base, safe there on a ball lost in the twilight by Frank Thomas in center field. And Ron Fairley at first base, he arrived there in a walk. Now Benares with a sign and the 1-0 delivery. Inside and low, ball two. The on-deck batter, Sandy Koufax. Two balls, no strike. No one throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. And here's the 2-0 delivery. And it's low for ball three.
Well, Larry Benares, after striking out Ken McMullen on three pitches, now has fallen three bat to Doug Camilli. He has nowhere to put him, and Norm Cherry has gone out to the pitching mound. To Doug Camilli. Cherry now back of the plate. Sending the signs out to Larry Benares. Bases loaded. And here's the 3-0 pitch. Fastball too low, ball four. And that forces in the fifth run of the ball game. Tommy Davis coming in from third base. Moving to third, Moosecower. And to second base, Ron Fairley. And on at first base with his second run batted into the game. As a result of a walk here, Doug Camilli. Camilli at first base, the batter is Sandy Koufax. Sandy grounded out to third base his first time up. He's a right-hand batter, and there's a swing and a foul ball for strike one. Jay Hook is throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. One strike count to Koufax. And the pitch. Curveball too low, ball one. Koufax moving out as though to bunt. He'd have to bunt to get a base hit with two men out. Sandy has four hits and 54 trips this year. He's batting 074. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Fastball just outside. Ball two. Dodgers with three runs in the first inning. One run in the second. They have one run here in the third. Now Benares sets and comes back to Koufax. And he misses in the dirt for ball three. Three balls and one strike with the bases loaded. The run forced in by Larry Benares when he walked up Camilli goes against Al Jackson's record. Jackson having given up all five runs so far in the game. Three balls and one strike, and the pitch to Koufax, taken at the called strike. Norm Cherry bluffs the throw to first base, and again now a full count of 3-2. And with two men out, the runners will be going on the pitch. Gowron at third base, Fairley at second base, and Camilli at first. There they go, and the pitch is hit in the hole. For Wright comes up with the ball, a long throw to first base, and he is out. For the Dodgers, they score one run on one base hit. There were two walks, no errors, and three men left on base. And the score now at the end of two and a half innings of play, the Dodgers 5, the New York Mets nothing. Now here's one of my favorite Rheingold riddles. Matter of fact, it's a double one. This time the batter hits a long drive fair. The outfielder standing in fair territory jumps. Ball brushes off his glove and goes into the stands in fair territory. What is it? A home run? Well, I thought you'd know that one. But is this the same situation? The batter hits a long drive fair again. The outfielder again standing in fair territory. Jump. Ball brushes off his glove and goes into the stands. But foul. That also a home run. Think about that one. Well, the rule says that it's a two-base hit. From one of my favorite riddles to my favorite beer, Rheingold Extra Dry. Now, why is Rheingold my favorite beer? Because I'm just like you. I've tried the others. Rheingold has a flavor that's crisp and bright and clean clear through. I find Rheingold is a beer that's easy to enjoy. And I'm sure you will, too. So why not join me in a tall, cold, refreshing glass of Rheingold. going to be Jim Harkness against Sandy Koufax in the Met half of the third. Harkness, Pearsall, and the first pitch to Harkness is high for ball one. And after Pearsall, the batter will be Larry Burright. Should say Larry Bernard. Still warming in the bullpen is Jay Hook for the Mets. They might use a pinch hitter. Koufax back with a fastball, a swing and a foul ball for strike one. Harkness batting 205. And now Koufax back to work. And again a foul ball. Yesterday's game won by the Dodgers. Harkness was walked intentionally with Don Drysdale pitching, and it moved the time run on down to second base and gave Harkness first base, and he was a go-ahead run. Very strange play by Walt Alston, but the explanation is that Drysdale is much more effective against right-hand batters. There's a swing and a foul tip. The ball dropped by Camelli. Count only to one and two. And the batter coming up after Harkness was Ron Hunt. So Walt Alston went against the books and put Harkness on. Later on, Harkness struck out for the final out of the ball game against Ron Peranowski. There's a curveball by Sandy Koufax. Low for ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Koufax back to Harkness. And there's a foul ball again, so the count holds again. Two balls, two strikes, no one out. Dodgers lead 5-0. In case you just tuned in, the Dodgers scored three runs in the first inning on three hits. Big hit, a two-run double by Ron Fairley. He added one more in the second on a home run by Doug Camilli, and then added one more in the third. Here's a fastball looked at, strike three. Strikeout number four for Sandy Koufax. Now with one out, Larry Burright. Larry Bernard is coming into the batter's box. Bernard's a good hitter. He started out in baseball in his college career as a catcher. He's a right-hand batter. And he takes a called strike for strike one. Koufax back with a curveball, a swing for strike two. Now Sandy, working quickly, comes back again, and the fastball is looked at. All strike three. Strikeout number five for Sandy Koufax. Three in a row, and the batter will be Jim Heckman, who flied out to left field as the first man up in the game against Koufax. Jim batting 223. Koufax has struck out his last three men. They all went down on fastball. Now the left-hander with his first pitch to Heckman, a curveball just missing. Ball outside for ball one. 5-0, Dodgers lead. Koufax with a fastball again outside for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Koufax has about the longest fingers I've ever seen for a pitcher, and he gets tremendous spin in the ball. His fastball explodes when it comes up. Here's a 2-0 pitch. There's the exploding fastball. A hard swing and a miss by Heckman at a high one. Two balls and one strike. He has so much rotation on the ball and his fastball that the ball actually rises. Now a 2-1. The fastball again, and there's the ball down the left field line. It's going to be a tough chance for Davis. He runs after it. He can't get to it. The ball bounces away. Heckman now going for third base. Ball picked up by Davis, and Heckman holds at third base, standing up. Tommy Davis tried to get to the ball before it got to the wall. He couldn't quite catch up with it. Went on by him, bounced off the wall, and went on down the left field line about 100 feet away. center fielder Ron Fairley couldn't get over to back up the play, and Tommy Davis had to retrieve the ball and throw it on in. So the Mets have the first base runner at third base with two men out, and the batter is Jimmy Pearsall. That is the second hit given up by Sandy Koufax. Pearsall struck out his first time up, and now he bunts out in front of home plate. The ball picked up by Camilli to throw to first base in plenty of time to retire the side. Jimmy trying to beat out a base hit and also get Hickman in from third base. Didn't bunt the ball quite hard enough, and Camilli got to it to pick it up right about 15 feet from home plate to make the play. In the inning, for the Mets, no runs on one hit. There were no errors. And one man was left on base. And the score at the end of three. The Dodgers, five runs on five hits. The Mets have no runs and two hits. All fans, the final revised edition of the New York Mets official 1963 yearbook is now on sale. This new edition contains many new action pictures in addition to biographical and statistical data on Jimmy Pearsall, Jesse Gonder, Joe Hicks, Duke Snyder, and the rest of the gang. There are stories about Casey and his coaching staff, Jay Stadium, Stadium Rama scoreboard, the farm system, man behind the scenes, and many other interesting facts and stories. Some of the new photos include Casey leading the band, the Mets at West Point, 1963 Old Timers Day ceremony, Jimmy Pearsall hitting his 100th home run, Willie Mays night, and opening day. To obtain your copy of the final revised edition of the Mets official 1963 yearbook, send 50 cents to Met Yearbook, Hall of Grounds, New York 39, New York. The yearbook is also available at the Mets Midtown ticket offices at Grand Central and Pennsylvania Station. Wills, the leadoff batter for the Dodgers here in the top of the fourth. They lead 5-0. Wills, a switch hitter, batting left-handed for the first time, and he takes the curveball from Larry Bernard for strike one. Wills is 0-2. Last night he was shut out, breaking an eight-game hitting streak. Now the one strike delivery by Bernard, the changeup that's outside. One ball, one strike. Batting at 313. Again a changeup, again high and outside. Two balls, one strike. Two balls, one strike. And the pitch back as the slider hit the left field. Thomas now moving to his right side, and he makes the catch. Big cheer for Frank Thomas coming after he lost the ball and went for a double in the twilight here, a high fly ball. Frank never did see the ball as it came on down. It set up the fifth run for the Dodgers in the third inning. They scored three in the first and one in the second. Now Jim Gilliam, the batter. Jim, a left-hand batter, also a switch hitter, batting left-handed for the first time. He looks at a strike for strike one. Gilliam 0-2. He has flied out twice. Bernard with that slow changeup outside. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike, one man out. Top of the fourth inning. There's a slider bounce foul off the bat of Gilliam. Count now 1-2. Al Jackson, the starting pitcher for the Mets, went 2 1/3 innings. He was charged with all five of the runs scored by the Dodgers while giving up five hits, striking out one and walking three. Larry Bernard came on in the third inning with one man out. So far, he has not given up a run or a base hit. There's a slider, a check in the swing, but the ball comes off the bat for a foul ball. Larry did walk a man to force in the fifth run, which was charged to Al Jackson. One ball, two strikes. Jim Gilliam, the batter. And the pitch by Bernard is high and outside. Ball two. Coaching at first base, Greg Malevi.
Pete Reeser coaching at third. Malavi is not normally the first base coach. Joe Becker coaches there. Now a 2-2. Slider fouled away again. Joe Becker was in an argument last night in which he was ejected from the ball game, and now word comes through that he was fined $75 by the National League president and suspended for 3 days as a result of his argument with Lee Wire at first base. He was disputing the call on the double play. Now it's 2-2. The pitch is outside. So the count 3-2. Three balls, two strikes. Larry Bernard dueling Jim Gilliam. And the pitch is outside for ball four. The second walk issued by Larry Bernard. And the Dodgers now have a man at first base, and we'll pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the Great Northeast, WGY Schenectady. The time, 6 minutes past nine.
Gunner along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from the Polo Grounds. The Dodgers now with five hits and five runs. They also have picked up five walks. The batter is Tommy Davis. He is one for one and he has scored two runs. And he hits the first pitch, a high bounce to the third. The throw to second base in time, the first base in time, a double play. Double play number 86 for the Mets to retire the side. And that one around the horn, a real tough one to make. Started by Jim Heckman playing at third base. In the inning for the Dodgers, no runs, no hits. There were no errors, one walk, and no one left on base. The score, after 3 1/2 innings of play, the Dodgers 5, the New York Mets nothing. Say, what's your idea of a wonderful day? An excursion into the country? A day in the sun? How about a trip to a lake? Or maybe it's that long journey into the backyard with your portable radio. Well, no matter which, any day becomes a little bit more wonderful when you have refreshing Rheingold beer on hand. Yes, Rheingold is something special when it comes to beer. And dry tells you why. Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costly, but you can measure the difference in taste. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Crisp and bright and clean, clear through. And isn't that the way you want your beer to be? I'm sure it is. Don't make Rheingold your beer. Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold the dry beer. Find out for yourself why Rheingold is New York's largest selling beer. Have a glass right now. All the Mets here in the bottom half of the fourth coming to bat. They need five to tie, and the first man up will be Joe Christopher, just recalled from Buffalo. Joe, in his first appearance against Andy Koufax, single to left field. The Mets have two hits off the strong left-hander. The other base hit by Jim Heckman in the third inning, a triple to left field. Christopher, a right-hand batter, and the first pitch is a curveball. He swings and fouls the ball for strike one. Christopher, while playing for Buffalo, came off tied for home run leadership with 19 when he left. He was batting 288. After Joe Christopher, Frank Thomas and Ron Hunt will come up against Sandy Koufax. Koufax working on a shutout. Now the one strike delivery, a slow changeup that drops over for strike one. And man, that's the slowest pitch I've ever seen him throw. That was almost a blooper pitch. Ball started up above the head of Joe Christopher. It must have been about 15 feet off the ground and dropped right in at the knees for a strike. Here's the two-strike pitch. Fastball, threw it right by him. Strike three. Well, Koufax has the best fastball in the National League, the best curveball in the National League. If he comes up with the best change of pace, look out. I don't know what to do then, Bob.
Yes, now, Ralph.
Man, he's amazing. I've seen a lot of great pitchers, but this fella right now, with his control, is the best I have ever seen. One man out. We're in the bottom half of the fourth, and the batter's Frank Thomas, and he pops the first pitch up. Ball going over on the first base side. Moose Cowan there, and he makes the catch for out number two.
Six strikeouts for Sandy Koufax. Two men out here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. The Dodgers lead 5-0. Koufax holds the National League strikeout record with 269. Last year he had 208. Right in the middle of July, before he was out with that bad finger, and he was well on his way to breaking Bob Feller's strikeout record of 348. Right here this year, he has a total of 156 strikeouts. Now the batter is Ron Hunt. Ron fouled out his first time up. He looked at a curveball. It's low for ball one. At the start of this year, Sandy had struck out 1,168, and he has averaged over 9 strikeouts a game. Here's the pitch back to Hunt. Again, the curve, it's low for ball two. He holds the Major League record with Bob Feller for strikeouts in a day game, 18. It's a National League record. He also has struck out 18 in a night game. That was against the Giants. He holds just about every National League strikeout record you can imagine. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Fastball at the knee, strike one. In his very second game in the Major Leagues, he struck out 14 batters in 1955. He set a National League record for strikeouts in two games by striking out a total of 31. He has a Major League record for strikeouts in three games. There's a bouncing ball hit the short. Picked up by Maury Wills to throw to first base in time to retire the side. In those three games, Sandy Koufax struck out a total of 41 batters. Well, in the inning for the Mets in the fourth, no runs, no hits, there were no errors, and no one left on. And the score now at the end of four, the Dodgers 5, the New York Mets nothing. Now here's Bob to bring you up to date in the scores.
Okay, Ralph, Willie McCovey has cracked a 2-run homer for the San Francisco Giants in the third. What a year he's having for Alvin Dark. He's now hit 25 home runs. At the end of four innings, Phillies 4 and the Giants 2. Jack Sanford against Art Mahaffey. The Phillies got 4 in their first inning. Houston nothing.
Pittsburgh nothing at the end of 3.5.
Bruce against Don Swall. Harry Kraft and the Houston Colt 45s, including the American League batting champion, Pete Reynolds, will be in for a four-game series, a doubleheader Sunday, the makeup game on Monday night, and an afternoon game on Tuesday. Chicago at Cincinnati, Bob Buell against Jim O'Toole. They're underway in St. Louis. The Braves are out of the first, Tony Kleininger against Bob Gibson. In the American League, Yankees play the Angels on the West Coast. Warm-ups at Minnesota, Dave Moorhead and Jim Perry. Baltimore 1, Washington 1 at the end of 4, Pappas against Benny Daniels. Jake Woods homer in the first inning at Comiskey Park has Detroit leading Chicago 1-0. Mossy and Pizarro the pitcher. Now Frank Howard is up against Larry Benares, and the pitch is over the knees, strike one call. Frank Howard has a double and two times up. Giant right-hand batter holds up on his swing. One ball and one strike. Game now in the fifth inning. Dodgers 5 runs on 5 hits. New York no runs on 2 hits. Manoff over the head. Here's his pitch on the way. Grounder down to third, played by Jim Hickman. That long throw is high, pulls him off the bag, he's safe. Jim Hickman had a little trouble getting the ball out of his glove, then tried to put too much on the throw, and he did. Throw took off on him, started to fail. Harkness had to leave the bag to go get it. It's an error charged on Jim Hickman. Second misplay of the game charged against the Mets. The hitter now is Bill Skowron. The Moose has drawn a walk and hit a fly ball double to left field. Low in the dirt. No advance on the baseline. Actually, the Moose got a double when Frank Thomas, in the twilight of the evening, or the dusk of the evening, I should say, lost a towering fly ball. He simply lost it when it got up there so high, and it dropped about 20 feet away from Frank for a double. Abadoff fires over to first, not in time. Mets have the infield looking for two. A grounder hit the shortstop. Grabbed by Burright. Flipped to Hunt. One to Harkness. Two. Well, the New York Mets and the Dodgers series have now turned eight double plays in a three ball game. They have hiked their total to 87 double plays for the year, and this is their 87th ball game. They made three in the opener, made three in the second game, and they have two in this game. Two outs and nobody on in the fifth inning. The batter is Ron Fairley. Curve taken high, one ball and no strike. Ron Fairley hit a line shot into left center field for a double, driving two runs home in the first inning. He drew a walk in the third inning. Fairley is now moving up on the league leaders and runs batted in. He's been picking them up in clusters. Outside and low, two balls and no strikes. Henry Aaron leads the major league in runs batted in with 66. Aaron now shares the major league lead in home runs with Willie McCovey. Each has hit 25. Over for a strike on the inside corner, 2-1. Last year, Willie Mays won the home run derby. Harmon Killebrew of the Twins was second. Hank Aaron was third with 45, more than he had ever hit before. And Aaron this year appears to be on his way to an even better year. Too high to Ron Fairley, a count, three balls and a strike. Larry Benarth in relief of Al Jackson. Into his windup, the 3-1 pitch. Ball four is inside and high, and Fairley walks. Third walk given up by Larry Benarth. Two outs. Fairley on first, Ken McMullen the batter. McMullen has flied to center and taken a call third strike. Now Benarth off the stretch. Delivers to the plate. Off the outside corner. One ball and no strike. Ken McMullen, right-hand batter from Oxnard, California. It's over at the letters, a call strike, one ball and one strike. McMullen last year played at Omaha, put together a good year, and then nailed down the third base job in spring training. After getting away to a slow start at the plate, they sent him to Spokane. He played there for a brief while, and then they brought him back. 1-1 delivery, a high pop-up outside third and foul ground. Jim Hickman is under it beyond the coaching line. Takes it for the third out. No runs, no hits, one error, one left on. Now we've come halfway at the end of four and a half innings to score. The Dodgers 5 and the Mets nothing.
Chug-a-mug.
Chug-a-mug?
Chug-a-mug.
What?
Chug-a-mug.
Chug-a-mug?
Chug-a-mug.
What?
New from Rheingold, the Chug-a-mug. No more glasses you have to wash, and no more deposits you have to pay.
I can even throw my opener away.
Why, sure. Chug-a-mug is Rheingold's new wide-mouth container with a top that's so easy to open. You just pull the metal tab on top straight out, then straight up, and pull off the top. You drink right from Chug-a-mug's wide mouth. Inside, the same great Rheingold Extra Dry you love in cans, bottles, and on tap. Chug-a-mug. Holds the same, costs the same as a 12-ounce can. Chug-a-mug. No glasses, no openers, no deposits.
No fooling?
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Chug-a-mug. is a new way to buy beer. Better get some today.
Chug-a-mug, what you say?
What a great way to drink Rhine Gold beer.
Sherry batting against Sandy Koufax in the last half of the fifth inning. The left-hander winds and pitches. That's bad and high. It's ball one. Sandy, over four innings, has walked none and struck out six. Allowed no runs and given up two hits. Under the knees, ball two, two balls and no strikes. Several times, Koufax has gone behind the hitter, 2-0, and even 3-0, but has been able to come back and get the batter out. Now, as the Mets get down toward the tail end of their batting order, Casey has Jay Hook starting to warm up in the bullpen. Norm Sherry hitting number six in the order, Larry Burwright on deck, and then Tim Harkness. Koufax out of his windup. The pitch is swung and missed. The fastball, he went right after it. He might as well swing when Koufax goes 2-0 or even 3-0 because he rarely walks leading by anybody. In Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, the Dodgers have two great pitchers and both have tremendous control. Swing and a miss. It's 2-2. Drysdale, in 177 innings, has walked only 33 men. Koufax, in 160 innings, has walked only 34 men. Ground ball hit down to third. Kim McMullen plays the hop. Fires to Skowron, one away in the last half of the fifth inning. One out, nobody on. Now Larry Burwright coming up. Larry was struck out in the second. Beautiful crowd tonight in the Polo Grounds. Big crowd, probably over 40,000. Final Dodger game tomorrow. Tomorrow is Family Day. Now Sandy Wines pitches to Burwright, drops it right in there on a breaking ball for a call, strike one. Koufax already has hung up eight shutouts this year. Curve that's in, strike two called. He throttled back on that changeup beautifully. And he had Burwright double hitching on it. Old Grover Cleveland Alexander holds the all-time record for shutouts in a season. Hummer off the outside corner, one ball and two strikes. The all-time record for strikeouts in 1 year is 16. So Sandy Koufax, with eight over the first half of the year, has a shot at that one. Foul ball back to the upper deck. He already has more this season than anybody in the National League since way back when Mort Cooper got 10 with the St. Louis Cardinals right after 1940. One-two delivery outside. 2-2 on Larry Burwright. Dodgers 5 runs on 5 hits. New York no runs on 2 hits. We're in the last half of number 5. 2-2 pitch. A fly ball going foul down the right field line, and this will drop into the crowd a souvenir. Dodger defense in the outfield, not figuring that Burwright will get around on Sandy Koufax, and they are playing him to hit the ball to right field. Pitching 2-2. He held up just in time, and the count goes full, 3 balls and 2 strikes. Burwright started to go after the high, hard one, and then stopped just at the right instant. Now Larry swishes the bat around. The payoff pitch, foul ball, wafted back over our radio booth and out of play into the upper deck. Now Sandy slips his hand out of the glove to twist that ball around in his hands and try to loose that horse hide up just a little bit. Some pitchers will work that ball up so vigorously in their hands during the course of the year that they raise big blisters and calluses on the back of their pants. Low and inside, it's ball four, and Burrad is on. So Larry Burrad, after fouling a couple off, draws the walk, goes down to first base. That brings up Tim Harkness. Tim was called out on strike, his first time up. Dodgers have not only Sandy Koufax, but they have two other outstanding left-handers, Padres for a starter and Peranowski in the bullpen. Strike one call to Tim Harkness. One away and one on. Tim Harkness batting against Sandy Koufax. Inside the high, one ball and one strike. Well, we were all mighty happy to read that Eddie Crane Bull had 4 for 5 for Buffalo last night against Syracuse. Inside the high, 2-1. Last night, Eddie Crane Bull, only 18 years old, playing his first game at Buffalo. Had 2 singles, a double, and a home run. He went 4 for 5 in Buffalo's 4-2 win over Syracuse. Foul ball back into the screen. Now that shows you the kind of determined young man that Eddie Crane Bull is. He was disappointed to be sent to the minor leagues, but he had been mired in a tough batting slump. So severe that Casey had to put him on the bench, and rather than have him on the bench, the Mets, who consider him a tremendous prospect, wanted him at Buffalo where he could play every day and find his way out of a batting slump. A foul ball back upstairs and out of play. It's 2-2 on Tim Harkness. So Eddie certainly didn't let it get him down, the fact that he was disappointed and had to return to the minor leagues. Stepping right into his first ball game, he went 4 for 5. Two and two on Tim Harkness. Pitch by Koufax, fouled again back to the screen, and Harkness is giving Sandy a workout. Dark-haired 27-year-old left-hander pitches a towering pop foul. Doug Camilli hoping for a play. He has done. It's out of his reach against the screen. The pitch just missed the inside corner with a curve. And the full count now on Harkness, 3-2. Koufax has thrown a lot of pitches this game tonight. He's gone behind hitters. Has gone 3-2 on a number of occasions. He has given up only 2 hits, allowed just 1 walk. Now Burnright leading off. Here's the pitch on the way. A line drive, pace hit down the right field line. Burnright around second, on his way to third. Harkness is on with a clean single to right. Camille comes out of the dugout. He'll bat for Larry Bernard. Rod Camille came up in the 9th inning of the game last night as a pinch hitter and single. For the second time, the Mets have a runner as far as third against Koufax. Runners on first and third, one man down. Harkness really ripped that one. Hard line drive into right field, a whistling base hit. and Burrard raced to third. Now Koufax looking in for his sign. Here's the pitcher on the way. Low, it's ball one to Rod Caneal. Dodgers 5 and the Mets nothing. Mets have it going here in the last half of the fifth inning. Caneal hitting for Burrard. Jay Hook warming up in the bullpen. Here's the pitcher on the way. A swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. The crowds have turned out here on the Polo Grounds. Usually by the time the Dodgers and Giants have left town, you're lucky if you've got any voice left. The 1-1 delivery. Foul ball back into the screen. One ball and two strikes. Tim Harkness on first. Now Koufax looking into Doug Camilli. The count, one ball and two strikes. Here's the pitcher on the way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Strikeout number 7 for Koufax before Jim Hickman steps in. We'll pause for station identification.
A 10 on your dial, WGY Schenectady, a General Electric station. The time, 29 minutes until 10.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner. It's the home fifth inning. Mets have runners on first and third, two men down. Jim Hickman tripled to left field his last time up. Curve taken low, one ball and no strike. Sandy up in pitching position. And it's a looping fly ball to center field coming in fairly. He's under it. Makes the catch to stand us out. Fly ball hit not too deep to center field, but Fairley was able to come in and grab it and nip the threat. No runs, one hit, no errors, two left on. Now five innings complete. Dodgers 5 runs, 5 hits, no errors. Mets no runs, 3 hits, and 2 errors. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
I run this tooth ranch away out west, and when it comes to horses, we sure own the best. Now, one of our guests was a gal from the east. Say she was something, to say the least. One day we were out on the trail, and I said, "Have a cigarette, man." And she shook her head.
"No, thanks. I can't stand the unfiltered kind. And even some filters are too strong, I find."
She said, "Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filtered cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got
the taste that's right."
That's right.
Well, listen, partner, I've changed my brand, and that gal is my wife and owns half of my land.
That's right.
So now I know, and I'll take all bets. If you smoke all 7 filter cigarettes, you'll find some too strong,
some too light.
But Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
Now Jay Hook comes in to take over the pitching for the New York Mets. We'll be going to the sixth inning. Larry Bernard turning in a good relief stint. In other games, the Phillies scored 3 in the fifth inning. They lead the Giants 7-2 at the end of 5. Sanford against the Happy. Houston nothing, Pittsburgh nothing after 4.5. Bruce against Don Swall. Cubs 1, Cincinnati nothing at the end of an inning and a half. Buell and O'Toole are pitching. Cardinals 1, Braves nothing at the end of 1. That's Cloninger against Bob Gibson. Yankees and Angels not yet underway. Red Sox and Twins are tied 1-1 at the end of an inning and a half. Dave Moorhead against Jim Perry. Orioles 1, Senators 1 after 5.5. Pappas against Daniels. Detroit got 2 in the first inning off Juan Pizarro. White Sox now hitting in the first against Mossy.
Cleveland and Kansas City rained out in Kansas City. Now the first hitter against Jay Hook will be catcher Doug Camilli. Camilli hit a shot into the upper deck in left field, a home run off Jackson in the second, drew a walk in the third inning. Doug, a right-hand batter, a Mets playing just about straight away in the infield. Hook out of his windup. The pitch, curve is swung and missed, strike one. Once again, Larry Benarth turning in a good relief stint. Larry, in 2 2/3 innings, allowed no runs and no hits. Walked 3 and struck out 1. That's over a call strike, a 2-strike count on Doug Camilli. Greg Malevi and Pete Reiser on the coaching lines for the Dodgers. Infield and the outfield straight away for Camilli. And a breaking ball bends too far away from the outside edge. One ball and 2 strikes. Sandy Koufax kneeling in the on-deck circle. He'll be batting next. And then Maury Will. Slow grounder trickling foul down the third baseline. In the game tomorrow, Bob Miller pitches for the Dodgers and Tracy Stallard for the New York Mets. Then we have a big Sunday doubleheader against the Houston Colt 45. Now Hook winding the 1-2 delivery. He lays off and the curve bends into the dirt. Count even now, 2 balls and 2 strikes on Doug Camilli. Dodgers 5 runs on 5 hits, no errors. New York, no runs, 3 hits, 2 errors. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Jay threw that one by him, a high, hard one. Starting to pick up for Sandy Koufax as he hits here in the sixth inning. A remarkable southpaw from Brooklyn, Sandy Koufax. Sandy, a right-hand batter, hit thrown by Jay Hook.
1 ball and no strike.
Sandy will not turn 28 until just before the new year. Down comes the pitch by Jay. A ground ball slapped slowly toward Ron Hunt. Ron digs it out of the dirt. Whips to Harkness, 2 men down. 2 outs and nobody on in the Dodgers' sixth inning. Now their leadoff batter, Maury Will. Maury, 0-for-3, has grounded out to short, popped to short, and fly to left field. Batting at 312 on the year. Now Maury taking his time in the on-deck circle to give Sandy Koufax a chance to get back to the dugout and catch his breath. Beautiful night, tremendous crowd in the Polo Grounds for the third of the 4-game series of the Mets and Dodgers. Hickman plays in close at third and the pitch is in off the short ribs. 1 ball and no strike. With tonight's crowd might well go up around 665,000 for the home season. Now Jay Hook takes his sign from Norm Sherry. The pitch to Maury Wills is too high across the visor and the count 2 balls and no strike. This could be a big game for the Dodgers because the Phillies are out in front of the Giants 7-2 at County Mac Stadium. He has to lean away. It's inside and a high. Ball 3-0. Dodgers right now, a red-hot ball club. They've won 9 of their last 10, 14 of their last 17. 3-0 delivery. Ball 4, and little Maury is on. the crowd begins to chant, go, go. They want to see Mari Wills in action. However, with a 5-0 lead and the fact that his legs have bothered him from time to time since opening day, I doubt whether he'll be running or not. But you never know. Now the pitch to Gilliam. Fastball in, a strike call. Mari likes to travel light. He doesn't wear sliding pads. Now Jay Hooker off the stretch. Down comes his pitch. Breaking ball, he lays off. One ball and one strike to Gilliam. Gilliam has flied to left, flied to center, and drawn a walk. So Junior is 0 for 2, batting at 275. Top warrior with the Dodgers for a decade. The 1-1 pitch. Ground ball sliced to third, booted by Hickman. He scrambles. Now he throws, not in time. Gilliam reaching safely. Dodgers have runners on first and second. It'll be an error charged on Jim Hickman. The hitter now, batting number 3 in the order for the Dodgers, Tommy Davis, leading the National League in batting, a single to center, been hit by a pitch, hit into a double play started by Jim Hickman. Right here, the Dodgers have 2 on, 2 down, top of the 6th inning. In comes the pitch from Hook, and it is a hook that's outside. 1 ball and no strike. Jay checking with Norm Sherry. Mari Wills leads off second. Gilliam off first. A swing and a foul ball. 1 ball and 1 strike to Tommy Davis. Tommy hitting 327. He regained the National League batting lead by picking up 2 for 3 in the game last night. Jay up in pitching position, delivers to the plate, a fastball in the outside corner, a called strike, 1 ball and 2 strikes. Jay, the third hurler, used tonight by the Mets. Al Jackson started, then Larry Benares, now Jay Hook. Pitching 1-2. Inside, that one didn't miss by much. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Both Jay Hook and Norm Sherry thought they might have had Tommy Davis struck out. Mari Wills on second. Junior Gilliam on first. 2 men down. Now Jay in the set position. Down comes the pitch. Slow grounder. It'll go foul down the third baseline. He had him lunging on a changeup. So the count is 2-2. Davis running it out will have to turn back. Seventh inning in Philadelphia now, with the Phillies leading the Giants 7-2 behind Art Mahaffey. Sanford has gone out and Jim Duffalo has come in. Short and second, playing Davis to hit up the middle. A blooping drive toward shallow left center field, over for right, and a base hit to left center field. Wills is in to score at 6-0. Racing to third goes Gilliam. And they play for Gilliam at third. He has to dive back headlong to get in safely. They set the left center for Tommy Davis. That was a soft line drive. Hook made a good pitch. He hit him in off the fist. It almost sounded like a broken bat base hit on a floop just beyond the reach of Larry Burright. For Tommy Davis, who last year knocked in 153 runs, his 40th RBI of the year. Now, massive Frank Howard is the batter. Howard has doubled, struck out, reached on an error. Ball one outside and low. Last year in winning the batting title, Tommy Davis knocked in more runs than anybody in 25 years in the National League. Down comes the pitch to Howard, a drive to left center field. Thomas running for it, and he makes the catch. The side is out. Sinking drive that stayed up just long enough to let Thomas cut to the alley and pick it off knee-high to retire the side. The run will be unearned. One run on one hit. One error and two left on. Now at the end of five and a half innings, the score, the Dodgers 6 and the Mets nothing. Say, did you ever notice the annex the third base coach will go through to be sure he hides his signs from the enemy? You know the sort of thing, going to the fill of his cap, walking up and down, tugging on his belt. Well, watching the third base coach is part of enjoying the game. So's enjoying a good cigarette. For me, it's Viceroy. Because Viceroy tastes the way I'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now, what do I mean by the taste that's right? Well, if you smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some try their hardest to taste like the unfiltered kind. Result? They taste too strong. And others take all the fun and flavor out of smoking. They taste too light. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now Jimmy Pearsall is up against Sandy Koufax, and the fastball is in for a strike. Curve is hit foul going down the third baseline, strike two. Jimmy 0 for 2 was struck out in the first, trying to bunt a run home, and was thrown out in the third inning by Doug Camilli. Koufax winding, pitches swung and missed, he struck him out. He got him with a big breaking ball. Now Sandy Koufax in five and a third has struck out eight men. Now the hitter is Joe Christopher. Joe has one of the two hits off Koufax. Tries to bunny his way on. He concealed his intentions, but bunted foul down toward Cookie. Joe Christopher has one hit and two times up. Single to left field with two down in the first inning. The other two hits, a triple by Jim Hickman and a single by Tim Harkness. Now the wind-up pitch by Sandy. Down low in the count even on Christopher, one ball and one strike. Now Koufax over the head delivers. Low and outside, ball two, it's two and one. Although he has walked only one man, Koufax has not had the control tonight that he likes to have. He has had to work behind the hitters quite a bit. Now the 2-1 pitch. A swing and a miss on a letter-high fastball, 2-2. Now Doug Camilli setting up the target. The 2-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. That was one of the fastest pitches in the entire game thrown by Koufax. He looked like he could throw a strawberry through a battleship on it.
Well, we hope you're enjoying tonight's game, and I know you'll enjoy a Viceroy cigarette. Because Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Swing and a miss by Thomas on a shoulder high fastball. Koufax now has struck out 9 in 5 2/3 innings. The left-hander Wine, jersey spits to Thomas, outside and high. 1-1. Frank has been struck out and fouled out to the first baseman, Moose Gowron. 1-1 delivery, a change-up, swung on and missed, strike 2. Dodgers 6 runs on 6 hits, the Mets no runs on 3 hits. Now the count on Thomas, 1-2, Big Frank waiting. Ground ball driven foul. Foul by about a foot and a backhand snag made by Ken McMullen. Thomas came oh so close to winning the opening game of the series off Johnny Padres with a long drive in the last of the ninth inning. Tommy Davis went up on the wall to grab it. The 1-2 delivery, a towering pop foul. Doug Camilli getting rid of his mask. He may have a play. Back to the screen. He grabs it and the side is retired. So the Mets are out in order in their half of the sixth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. Now sixth inning's complete. And the score, the Dodgers 6 and the Mets nothing. Well, the Dodgers are here now, and it won't be long until the Giants will be coming to town. And here to tell you all about it and paint the word picture for you, Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Bob Murphy. The Houston Gold 45s will be here Sunday afternoon for a doubleheader, Monday night for a makeup game, Tuesday afternoon for a regularly scheduled game, and then the Giants will be in on Wednesday night. And they'll return on Thursday night. It's only a 2-game stand, so we hope you're making your plans to be here next Wednesday and Thursday night when the Giants are here to meet the New York Mets. Tickets are now on sale, of course, for that series. It'll be the second visit of the Giants to the Polo Grounds, their former home, this season. They'll be in one more time after this. Going to the top half of the seventh inning. And Bill Scowen will be coming up for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jay Hook on the mound for the New York Mets. Al Jackson started and is the pitcher of record. He was relieved by Larry Benares, who was removed for a pinch hitter. So far, the Mets have 3 hits off Koufax. The Dodgers have their 6 runs on 6 hits. Steps into the batter's box. Hook looking in to get the sign. As it hears a swing and a miss for strike 1. Here's pitch and it's 1-1 to Bill Scowen. Ron Fairley on deck for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hook again with the pitch. Breaking ball inside, and it's 2-1. We'll give you the official paid attendance here tonight as soon as Bill Scowen has batted. A fine Friday night turnout. Breaking ball swung on and foul back onto the screen and out of play. It's a 2-2 count now to Scowen. He has walked, doubled, and bounced into a double play so far tonight. Dodgers started out tonight picking up 3 runs in the top half of the first inning. They added another in the second, another in the third, another in the sixth. Hook has the sign from Norm Sherry, and here's the 2-2 offering. It's fastball a little tight, and it's a full count at 3-2. Cook is getting the sign. And the payoff pitch. Breaking ball. Swung on and missed. Struck him out. That's Hook's second strikeout since he came in here. It'll be fairly coming up. The official paid attendance at the polo grounds tonight, 34,889. Service and press, 959. Total in the ballpark, 35,848. For 39 dates, the Mets' home attendance is now 658,167. Here's the pitch to Ron Fairley. It's fastball outside for ball one. In 1957, the last year that the Giants played here at the Polo Grounds, they had a season's attendance of 653,923. So the Mets have gone past that tonight. Here is the pitch a little tight, and it is 2-0 to Ron Fairley. He doubled to drive in two runs in the first inning, walked in the third, walked in the fifth. Waggles the bat as he waits. Jay Hook with a no-wind-up delivery. Pitch is swung on. Has a high foul ball back of the plate. Sherry looking for it. Gets rid of the mask. He's in the warning track and makes the catch and crashes in. He's out. He made the catch and then crashed into the wire. And Lee Wire, the umpire, was right there and signaled out. So Ron Fairley has fouled out to the catcher and Ken McMullen's coming up. The call for the umpire there is to be sure that the catcher does not trap the ball against the wire. Ken McMullen, the rookie third baseman of the Dodgers, has slid to center, was called out on strike and fouled out to third. Jay Hook pitches low for ball one. This series will be concluded here tomorrow afternoon, and former Met Bob Miller is scheduled to pitch for the Dodgers against Tracy Stallard. Pitch is swung on. It's a ground ball to short. Burright is up with it. Plays on to first in time. And the side is retired in order here on the top of the seventh. On no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of six and a half innings of play, it's the Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. Well, here it is, seventh inning. You know what that calls for, Ralph Kiner?
Well, I don't know, Lindsay. Can hardly hear you with this crowd standing up and cheering for the Mets, but I'm sure it calls for the good old seventh inning stretch. And you know what that calls for.
Yes, sir. Fine, cold Rheingold. Rheingold, extra dry beer. But really, any nice time calls for Rheingold. It makes any wonderful day just a little more wonderful, but that figures because Rheingold is the dry beer. Yes, two little words, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold is the happy choice of millions. Extra dry tells you Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way to taste brisk and bright and clean, clear through.
Rheingold is beer as beer should taste.
That's why millions say,
my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. So why not join them? Enjoy a tall, refreshing glass of Rheingold right now as Lindsey Nelson brings you more of the baseball action.
All right, Ralph Skiner. We have changes now for the Dodgers. Willie Davis has gone to center field. Ron Fairley has come in to play first base. And Bill Scarron goes out of the ballgame. That's Davis, number five in the batting order, if you're keeping a scorecard. Ron Hunt is up, and here's the pitch. It's high for a ball. Hunt has been up twice. He fouled out to first base, and he grounded out short to first. Sandy Koufax on the mound. He has struck out nine. And walk none in this ballgame. Walk one. Here's a swing, a foul ball coming back and out of play. It's 1-1. Sandy Koufax started the night tied with Juan Marichal of the Giants and Whitey Ford of the Yankees for the most victories in the Major League 14, so he is trying to go ahead of the pack with his 15th victory of the season here tonight. Here's a swing and a foul ball coming back. Doug Camilli comes back. Gets rid of the mask, has a play in the warning track, and makes the cut.
Norm Sherry coming up now for the Mets. Grounded out short to first, grounded out third to first. The Dodgers leading here by a score of 6-0. Sherry settles himself in the batter's box. Kopech looks in to get a sign from Doug Camilli. Wind up and the pitch. A let up that is high for ball one. Sort of floated that one up there. And again, Kopech with the pitch. It's in there for a called strike. 1-1. Leo DeRocher moving around in the dugout of the Los Angeles Dodgers. DeRocher is not used on the coaching lines these days by manager Walter Austin, incidentally. Here's a fastball swung on and fouled back out of play. It's 1-2. One man out and nobody on base. Dodgers out in front here by a score of 6-0. Larry Burright is waiting on deck for the New York Mets. The let-up swung on and has a fly ball to center. Willie Davis digs in a few steps. He's there, pounds the glove and makes the catch. Two away, nobody on base, and that will bring up Larry Burright. He has struck out swinging and walked. Kopech leaning over to get the sign. And the pitch, fastball in there for a called strike. Here's a swing and a miss. Strike two. With two men out and nobody on base. Twice in his career, Kopech, of course, has struck out 18 batters. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. Kopech rubbing up the ball a little bit. He and Burright, of course, were teammates all of last season. Here is the two-strike pitch. Swung on, and there's a foul ball back up first, going into the stands and out of play. Here's a swing and a fly ball on the right field line, and it's carrying way up but foul into the upper deck and out of play. Count holds it two strikes. Two strike count. A swing and a miss, dropped by Camilli, and he's throwing on down to first base now to fairly in time. So make it a strikeout, and the play goes 2-3. Strikeout number 10 for Sandy Koufax, and in the bottom of the seventh, the Mets got no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of seven, it's the Dodgers 6 and the Mets nothing. So right now, we'll check on scores of other games all around the Major League. The end of seven full innings of play in Philadelphia. The Phillies lead the Giants by a score of 7-2, so the Los Angeles Dodgers have a chance here to pick up a full game, which would extend their lead in the National League to 5 full games if they did. McCovey hits the 25th home run of the season for him tonight in the third inning with one on for the Giants. And just now, Harvey Keene has homered for the Giants in the eighth, and McCovey's hit another one, number 26, and he leads the National League. Willie McCovey with his 26th home run of the season coming in the eighth inning with one man on, so the Giants have picked up three runs here in the top of the eighth, so it is now 7-5. Mahaffey's out of the ballgame, and Boston is now in for the Phils. Duffalo relieves Stanford in the sixth inning for the Giants, and Billy Huff came into the seventh. The end of five and a half innings, the Colt 45s won, the Pirates nothing. Bruce against Schwalz. Schofield homered in the sixth with nobody on now for Pittsburgh. So that one is tied 1-1. Houston will be in here Sunday, Monday night, Tuesday afternoon. The end of four innings, the Cubs won, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Buell against O'Toole. The end of two and a half, the Milwaukee Braves won, the Cardinals won. Cloninger against Gibson. Oliver homered in the second with nobody on. A That was for Milwaukee. The Yankees are at Los Angeles tonight to play the Angels. Red Sox 1, Minnesota Twins 1 at the end of 2.5. Rollins homered in the first with nobody on. Right now, Camille is at the plate. Jay Hook pitch and it's in there for a called strike. The end of 7 innings of play. Gil Hodges, Washington Senators 3 and the Baltimore Orioles 1. Pappas for Baltimore, Stock in the 7th. Benny Daniels for Washington. Lock homered for Washington in the 2nd with nobody on. Mr. Camille swung on as the ground ball is short. Up with it is Burr Wright, and he plays on in time. And right now, we pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the Great Northeast, WGY Schenectady. The time is 4 minutes past 10.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at the Polo Grounds in New York. Sandy Koufax is coming up now for the Dodgers. The American League at the end of 2 innings. The White Sox lead the Tigers 4-2. Massey against Pizarro. Cleveland and Kansas City postpone rain. Here's a swing and a ground ball taken by Hickman at third. Straightens up and throws to first in time. Two away. Nobody on base for the Dodgers. Batting in the top half of the 8th inning. The Dodgers leading here by a score of 6-0. That will bring up Maury Wills, who again is playing the part of a good leadoff man by staying in the on-deck circle, making no effort to come up until Koufax gets back near that dugout. One of the rudiments of the game as far as leadoff men are concerned, protect that pitcher, don't make him extend himself, give him time to rest, especially if he is the second out in the inning. So now, Maury Wills is coming slowly on up to the plate. He's nothing for 3 and a walk tonight. Jay Hook with a no-wind-up delivery, and it's inside for ball one. Again, the pitch. Run on and has a ground ball towards second base. Taken by Ron Hunt. He plays over to Harkness, and the side is retired. As Jay Hook again gets them out in order. In the top of the 8th, no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. The end of 7 1/2 innings of play. It is the Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. Well, you know, you've heard us say, if beer is beer, should taste. Well, think of that for a minute. Isn't that what you want in a beer? Don't you want a beer that's refreshingly dry to the taste with a flavor that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through? Well, that is Rheingold. Rheingold is brewed to be just that. Brewed of the choicest ingredients, brewed the long, slow, costlier way, Rheingold is everything you look for in beer. And dry tells you why. Yes, extra dry means Rheingold's a better beer. It's a wonderful beer, and extra dry means Rheingold beer is more refreshing. The more refreshing a beer is, the more you're going to enjoy it. So enjoy fine, cold Rheingold beer. Join the millions who have made Rheingold New York's largest selling beer. Going to the bottom of the 8th, and here is a change for the Dodgers. Pee Wee Oliver has come in to play second base. Nate Oliver in place of Jim Gilliam. The Mets will send up Tim Harkness to lead off here in the bottom half of the 8th. Joe Hicks is at the bat rack for the New York Mets. Pitcher Jay Hook is due up next. Joe Hicks, recently purchased from Buffalo, is at the bat rack. Now the pitch to Harkness, swung on and has a high hopper towards second. Pee Wee Oliver takes it and he plays on to Fairley. There's one away. Joe Hicks is coming on up now to make his first appearance ever in the uniform of the New York Mets. He was with them in spring training, of course, but was sent on to Buffalo. Recently purchased at Buffalo, he was batting .319 in the International League. He had 14 home runs and 45 runs batted in. He is a left-hand batter. Joe Hicks, previously in the major leagues with the Washington Senators and the Chicago White Sox. You know, millions say my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Right now, why don't you open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry?
Now Koufax with the pitch to Hicks, and it's in here for a called strike. Joe Hicks, left-hand batter. And the pitch is low for a ball, and he's starting the tough way in National League competition as a left-hand batter working against Sandy Koufax. 1-1 pitch, and it's low for a ball. Koufax has the sign. Pitch is swung on and missed. It's 2-2. The Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. In the third game of the current series between the Mets and the Dodgers. Swinging a foul ball, backing out of play. Count holds at 2-2. Don Rowe working in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Left-hander Don Rowe. Here's a swing and a miss, and Hicks is a strikeout victim. That is number 11 for Koufax. Two away, nobody on. Jim Hickman coming up. He had a triple in the third inning. Otherwise, slide to left and slide to center. Koufax struck out 11 and walked one in tonight's game. There's a pitch in there for a called strike. Hickman waits. Koufax started to pump and changed his mind. Now the delivery. Swung on and missed. Two strike counts. Pearsall is waiting on deck for the Mets. Here's the two-strike pitch. Let up, swung out and missed. Strike three, struck him out. Strikeout number 12 for Sandy Koufax. As he got the Mets in order in the bottom of the eighth with no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of eight, it is the Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. This series will conclude tomorrow with a single game. It'll be family day here. And then the Houston Colt 45s will be coming in on Sunday afternoon for a doubleheader. And then the Colt 45s will be here Monday night. Now that's Monday night, July 15th, and it's a makeup game for the night game which was rained out here on the night of May 1st. Persons holding tickets for the May 1st game may exchange them for Monday's game or any subsequent game. The tickets must be exchanged now. The original tickets are not good for Monday night's game. You must exchange them. And then the Colt 45s will be in for a regularly scheduled game on Tuesday afternoon. Following that, the Giants. So, tickets are now on sale for future matches. Don Rowe is making the trek into the mound now for the New York Mets. As Hook was relieved for a pinch hitter. Making his 23rd appearance of this season. He has pitched 45 and two-thirds innings in which he has given up 22 runs on 53 hits. Struck out 24, walked 16. Earned run average 4.11. He has no won or lost record. Three very fine innings in which he allowed one run on one hit, struck out two, and walked one. And the first man up here in the top of the ninth for the Dodgers will be Nate Pee Wee Oliver. This is the man that I just counted on to be their regular second baseman this year. When they made the move to the top of the National League standings recently, the man swinging a big bat and playing second base was Jim Gilliam, as he has been doing so long, so well. Oliver
Bob is a right-hand batter, and he pitches swung on. As a one-hopper taken by Hickman at third, he plays across the diamond to Harkness, and there's one away. That will bring up Tommy Davis. 2 for 3 tonight, and in addition, he was hit by a pitch ball. He has driven in one run and scored two. The end of 7.5 innings in Philadelphia. It is the Phillies 7 and the Giants 5. That pitch is in there for a call strike. And at the end of 3.5 innings in St. Louis, it's the Cardinals 5 and the Milwaukee Braves 1. The Cards got 4 runs in the bottom of the third. Swing and a foul ball. In that game in St. Louis, Gerry Kolb homered in the third with one on. Cardinals just called him back up. Gerry Kolb. Davis swung on and pops to first right off the end of the bat, and Harkness is there. Makes the catch. Two away and nobody on base for the Dodgers, batting in the top of the ninth and leading 6-0. Big Frank Howard is coming up. Doubled in the first, struck out in the third, was on an error in the fifth, and lined out to left in the sixth. Pitch is low for a ball to Frank Howard. Don Rowe, a left-hander, with the pitch fired low and inside. 2-0. $34,889 paid here this Friday night at the Polo Grounds. Swing and a miss. Big fella took a riffle at that one. 2-1. Howard has a season's average of .247. Swing and a miss as Don Rowe pulled the string on him and had him way out in front on that one. It's 2-2. And now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled off just off the end of the bat. The Dodgers have 6 runs on 6 hits. The Mets have no runs on 3 hits. And the pitch swung on as a high pop just over the plate. Sherry goes out there to get a look at it and now comes in foul territory and makes the catch. Frank Howard, thinking he was in foul territory all the while, belatedly started down to first base when Sherry went out into foul territory originally, but finally took it back at the plate. Don Rowe gets the Dodgers in order in the top of the ninth. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And at the end of 8.5, it's the Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. And now, a word from Viceroy Cigarette.
Hi, we're the Brothers 4 here at the ball game.
Pitcher on the mound looks down the line. Squints at the catcher, gets the sign. Winds up, aims, and lets it go. Not too high and not too low.
It's a strike.
That's right.
That's right.
Batter comes up with a great big grin. Fidgets a bit, then settles in. Slams that ball as it reaches the plate. Not too soon and not too late.
It's a hit.
That's right.
That's right.
Fan in the stands lights a cigarette. Slide shot chase makes it easy to get.
Slides right open, slide shut tight. The crush proof slide shot case, that's right. That's Viceroy.
With the taste, it's right.
Yes, Viceroy, taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the deep weed filter and the taste, that's right. Viceroy
in the fly top case or familiar soft pack.
We're going to the bottom of the ninth, and Jimmy Pearsall steps into the batter's box for the New York Mets to face left-hander Sandy Koufax. Pitch is a fastball high for ball one. Pearsall struck out swinging, tried to bunt his way on in the third, and went out catch it at first, and struck out swinging in the sixth. Here's a fastball in there for a call strike. It's 1-1. Sandy Koufax, to this point, has struck out 12 and walked one.
Let up, swung on. It's a ground ball to short, taken by Maury Wills. He plays to Ron Fairley. That's one away. Joe Christopher coming up for the Mets. Got the first Met hit in the bottom of the first, a single to left. Struck out swinging in the fourth and again in the sixth. In there for a call strike. He let up on that one. Frank Thomas is the on-deck circle now for the Mets. Here's a swing and a little number down to third base line. McMullen charging, tries the bare hand play, and he got him just in time. A half step at first base as McMullen played that one the only way he could have played it. In bare hand fashion, and the speedy Christopher was thrown out by a half step. Two away, nobody on, and so the Met hopes now ride with Mike Thomas. In the bottom half of the ninth inning, two men out, nobody on base, and the Dodgers leading by a score of 6-0. Dodgers were out in front early in this ballgame tonight. Three runs in the first inning, one in the second, one in the third, one in the sixth. Swing and a foul ball. Out of play, it's strike one. Andy Koufax trying tonight for his 15th victory of this season. Strike one pitch to Thomas, and it's a little high for a ball. One and one. 1 year ago today, July 12th, Koufax pitched seven innings against the New York Mets and then left the ball game because of circulatory trouble in the finger. And his trouble got worse from then on, as you'll recall. Playing a foul ball, foul on the ground. Down to Cookie Lavagetta on the coaching line to third. The count to Thomas is one ball and two strikes. Now Koufax's pitch is low, hitting in the dirt right at the edge of the plate. It's 2-2. Retired the side in order in the bottom of the ninth with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and none left. So Koufax has chalked up his 15th victory of the season. Keep in mind that these same two teams will meet here tomorrow, and it'll be family day. Dad pays $1.30 for a general admission ticket. Mom and the kids pay 50 cents each, and the gates will be open at 11:30 tomorrow morning. The youngsters, the sons of the Mets, will start their game at 1:30. It'll be followed by the regularly scheduled game between the Mets and Dodgers. Tracy Stanton will pitch for the Mets. Bob Miller for the Dodgers. We'll be back in a moment with the final summary and totals. Right now, the final score of the game, the Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing. Well, you know, the New York area has just about everything. It's the most wonderful place in the world. Yes, sir, you name it, New York's got it. Parks, beaches, baseball, football, golf, lakes, amusement. People in New York have a lot to choose from, and that goes for beers, too. There are quite a few brands of beer on the market, and I think it's really something that of all the brands of beer available, New Yorkers have made Rheingold Extra Dry their favorite. That's quite a tribute to the quality of Rheingold. Rheingold is brewed of the choicest ingredients, brewed the long, slow, costly way, the extra dry way. And extra dry tells you why Rheingold is so wonderful, so much more refreshing. Its beer is beer should taste, brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Why not enjoy the extra refreshment of Rheingold Extra Dry Beer? Join all the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. On a big night before a big crowd here at the Polo Grounds,
The Dodgers have made it 3 in a row over the New York Mets. They won the first game of this series 1-0. They won last night 4-3, and they got off to an early start tonight by getting 3 runs off Al Jackson in the top half of the first inning. Jackson retired the first 2 men to face him, then Tommy Davis singled up the middle. Frank Howard ripped a line shot to left center, and when Thomas overran the ball and left, Davis came all the way home. It was scored as a double for Howard. No run batted in as Davis scored. Then Scarlett walked, and Ron Fairley doubled home 2 runs, and the Dodgers had 3. Judge Camilli had a leadoff homer in the second inning to make it 4-0. Tommy Davis was hit by a pitch ball to open up the top of the third. Bill Scarron double, barely walked to load the bases, and then Bernard came in to relieve Jackson and walked Camilli to force in another run to make it 5-0, and the Dodgers picked up another in the sixth. Here are the final totals for the Dodgers. 6 runs on 6 hits, no errors, and 7 left. For the Mets, no runs, only 3 hits off Sandy Koufax, 3 errors, and 4 men left. So Sandy Koufax has become the first man in the Major League to win 15 games this year. He's won 15 and lost 3. Al Jackson is the losing pitcher, and he has a record of 6 victories and 10 losses. The paid attendance, 34,889 here tonight. Sandy Koufax has pitched his 9th shutout, his 3rd in a row, and he now has 34 consecutive scoreless innings against the New York Mets. Final score here again. The Dodgers 6, the Mets nothing.